Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
The great layman Pang wrote, "In my daily life, there are no chores. Those that happen just to fall in my hands. Nothing I choose. Nothing I reject. Nowhere a slip. I have no other emblems of my glory than the mountains and hills without a spot of dust. My magical powers and spiritual exercise consist in carrying water and gathering firewood." Layman Pang. I love Layman Pang. This guy lived a long time ago. And so revered in the Buddhist school and in the Zen school for his emphasis on the ordinary. If you're looking for magical powers, you've come to the wrong place. I was talking with a Sangha member who is in the desert right now. Living in the desert. And they were talking about the challenge of the vastness of the desert and becoming that. Allowing yourself to become that which you're in. And to me, this is the heart in many ways of this practice of just entering what is happening. And for some reason, we make it so complicated. In my daily life, there are no chores. Nothing that you have to do. Nothing I choose and nothing I reject. Imagine just taking that on for an hour. About it not being about what you choose or what you reject. And how would that change your life? And perhaps even allow you to pivot in a way that you can't even imagine. Think about that often. So into our choices. So into what we reject. Especially in these times. And throughout time. This is the sixth case of the Book of Equanimity that I've been now in my sixth talk about. And this case, or this koan, or teaching story, is called Basso's White and Black. And I love this collection, as some of you know, because each koan begins with attention, which is sort of the whole point. But most of us are off in a dream somewhere. Maybe even right now. A monk once asked Basso, "Your reverence, abandoning the four propositions and wiping out 100 negations, please point out to me directly the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West." The Basso said, his teacher, I don't feel like explaining it to you today. Go ask Chizo. The monk then went and asked Chizo, one of his fellow students. And Chizo said, why don't you ask our teacher? The monk said, I asked our teacher and he told me to ask you. Rubbing his head with his hand, Chizo said, I have such a headache today. Go ask Brother Kai. When he asked Brother Kai, he said, ever since I've been here at the center, I just don't know. The monk, a little perplexed, went back to his teacher and reported the goings on. And Basso said, Chizo's head is white and Kai's head is black. So, clear. So this bit about abandoning the four propositions and wiping out 100 negations, and then he says, please point out to me directly the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West. Feels like so many questions I have. Why are these things happening in the world? What's happening with refugees, with politicians, with all sorts of things? He's asking, what is reality? What's it all about? What's life about? And in Zen, we really emphasize not saying, oh, this is how it is, and let me explain it to you. Because we value you discovering it for yourself. Not thinking what another Sangha member thinks about it, and in particular, not what Chodo or I think about it. Not that interesting. What's really amazing is to really investigate it yourself. This matter. And Basso, you know, he said, I don't feel like explaining it to you today. Was actually an incredibly compassionate expression. There's a lot of coaches now these days, people who will tell you what to do and tell you what your life is. You can hire people to do that. That's not what goes on here. What would it be like to really allow yourself to rest in your own discovery? To really trust your own process of discovery? But, you know, this sweet monk who's like me and all of us, we don't get it. So his teacher said, oh, go ask, you know, Yoshin. Go ask somebody else, since you're not really receiving what I'm saying. And so he does. And Chizo, his fellow Sangha member, says, "Why didn't you ask the teacher?" And that question to me is quite beautiful. It's about, to me, it's also pointing to perhaps trusting your teacher, trusting your teacher's response. Which, of course, the monk didn't get either. Because I know for myself, when I'm so hungry for an answer, I don't really hear anything. I don't know if you're like that too, when you're really sure or really stuck in a certain groove, you don't listen well. I don't think I'm the only one, but I'm willing to be. And after this monk doesn't get that either, he said, his fellow Sangha member says, "I have such a headache." There's a famous koan that Maizumi Roshi loved, where a monk is outside of the monk's hall and he's banging on the bucket and says, "Bodhisattvas, come eat! Bodhisattvas, come eat!" And no one responds. Maizumi Roshi talked about what touched him about that koan is that he imagined that the man banging the bucket was full of tears, that people were not responding, that there's food when they're all hungry. So much about our lives, when what's alive and vital is right in front of us and we don't participate in it. Waiting for something else. Another moment. And it's heartbreaking. And so normal. Because we all do it. It's like the unifying crazy. And then his brother, Kai, says, "I don't know." As his expression of ultimate reality, one I really attune to. And the monk is still confused and goes back to his teacher to explain it to him. And his teacher says, "One is black and one is white. They're different expressions of the same thing. Ducks have short legs and storks have long legs. One's black and one's white. How about yours?" And what happens when discouraging thoughts come into your mind? In your zazen, in your life, as if they're two different things. How strong is your aspiration to reveal yourself to yourself? When really the practice, which is so simple, because it's just walking when you walk and talking when you talk and caring when you care, but we're constantly moving away from it. as if it's about something else. Making lists when you're making lists. Just thoroughly doing that. What would it be like not to have that extra baggage of thinking of our lives filled with chores? Things we have to endure. Just feeling the pain in your mouth. How can you see without attachment and aversion? In many of the old Zen stories, they would say, learn to walk without lifting your legs, and learn to talk without using your tongue. Show me that. That's freedom. Laughing, crying, getting up, falling down. But to me, in order to do that, we have to really honor transitions. That are always happening deep inside and outside. And rather than trying to force a conclusion onto things, when actually there is no conclusion. There's no real red bow. And learning to truly trust the Dharma is presenting itself perfect and complete, lacking nothing, just as it is. And how do we really just honor our level of commitment of actually what it is instead of pretending it's something else? But being curious about what it is, whatever it is, doesn't matter actually. But just being meeting whatever it is. It's so refreshing, enlivening, to just be intimate with our commitment, whatever that commitment is, and whatever level it is. There's no right or wrong. And just being clear about the patience that we need for unfolding. Which, of course, is a lifetime, as far as I know. But so often, I know for myself, I'm into like leaping into a change instead of actually exploring it. Or resisting what's right in front of me. No. We say we want balance. I know I say that. I want balance. And yet to me, the learning is the leaning and listening to everything, all the voices, inside and out. It's not comfortable to do that. But then again, probably wouldn't be here if you were really just into comfort. If you're really just into comfort, this is like the wrong place, just in case you didn't know. Layman Pang, reminding us of what the heart is. The miraculous power and marvelous activity of drawing water and chopping wood.